More money.
25 years on the air with advice on money matters. Here's your host, Bob Brinker.
Welcome to America's Money Program. This is Money Talk on your radio across America, worldwide on the web. Thank you for joining us, Bob Brinker, along with you. And we have our guest segment coming up. Our guest is in Berlin, Germany. We'll be getting to that segment shortly. Let's take a look at the week ahead, what will be happening in the canyons of Wall Street. And things will get underway in earnest in terms of the data flow on Tuesday. The market is open Monday, not a whole lot of data Monday. But on Tuesday, a number of things happening. We have a tsunami of Fed speak on Tuesday. We have the chair herself, Janet Yellen, speaking at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning, Eastern Time, before the Senate Banking Committee. It'll be interesting to see if she touches on her prediction of 3 rate increases in 2017, subject to data dependency, of course. But Janet will not be alone, because Jeffrey Lacker will be out there, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond. He'll be talking around 9 a.m. And on the rubber chicken circuit, around 1 o'clock, the Atlanta Fed president, Dennis Lockhart, will be joining the Jabber Fest. And then the Dallas Federal Reserve president, Robert Kaplan, will join in as well on the rubber chicken circuit on Tuesday. There will be some economic data as well. The producer price index estimated to gain about 0.3% for the month of January should also be announced. On Wednesday, we'll get the consumer price index. Estimate is a monthly gain of 0.3%. We're starting to see an edging upward of the inflation figures that could become a very important factor going forward, because investors, as a general rule, have nothing but disdain for rapid inflation. And if they start to suspect inflation is heating up, they probably will not like it. Retail sales will also be announced Wednesday, expected to gain 0.1% for January. That's not much. Industrial production for January will be announced Wednesday, and that's expected to be flat. That's not much. We'll also get the housing market index on Wednesday. Janet Yellen will again appear on Capitol Hill to answer congressional questions. And we'll have more Fed speak around the country on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, we'll get the housing starts for January, estimated to be possibly up very slightly from the prior month. We'll get the jobless claims. The jobless claims have been exceptionally low, near historic levels in terms of being low. And we'll get the leading economic index coming out on Friday. All of that coming out this week. So it should be a week where there will be a considerable amount of information flowing through the canyons of Wall Street. And we'll be keeping an eye on all of it. Meanwhile, we'll be back with our guest segment. Stay with us as we go to Berlin, Germany, on Money Talk.
Money Talk.
Don't do what I did and run out.
If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about 3/4.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Doggo Suds
free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynovite.com.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes, a strategy that might work for you. The smart move is for you to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Ah, oh, fresh powder. I'll get the skis.
Ugh, I can't.
Winter nasal congestion. Is it A, cold, B, sinus pressure, C, allergies?
I'm not sure.
For all of the above, the answer is D. Allegra D, a maximum strength decongestant plus a powerful non-drowsy antihistamine for 24 hours of relief.
Feel better?
Yep. Feel like racing?
Hey, wait!
This winter, the answer is Allegra D. Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Valentine's Day is next week, and I have an amazing deal from Sherry's Berries. Right now, you can get their giant, juicy, gourmet-dipped strawberries starting at $19.99. Listen, these berries are huge and come freshly dipped in dark, white, and milk chocolatey goodness and covered in toppings like chocolate chips and nuts, all starting at $19.99. But hurry, this offer expires soon. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and use secret code 8585. Berries.com, code 8585.
Tired of that same old boring talk show? Then tune into So What's Your Problem? Stan Ketzer is guaranteed to make you laugh and help solve your real-life problems. Tune in Saturdays at midnight right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
When the veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are they really?
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
This is Money Talk.
Coast to coast, border to border, in the islands of Hawaii and north to Alaska. It's America's Money Program, Money Talk. Bob Brinker along with you. And our guest in Berlin, Germany, is Philip Lebanese. Philip is guest professor for social science at the Free University of Berlin. And his new book, The Power of a Single Number. Philip, we're delighted to have you with us. We thank you for your time. Tell us why you wrote this book.
Well, first of all, thanks, Bob, for having me on the show. I feel very honored. Well, as an economist, I was always intrigued by the way that this one number or this one statistic, gross domestic product, was everywhere. I mean, we just take it as granted that when we talk about what an economy is or how strong it is, then we always refer to GDP. But when we ask ourselves the question, where did that come from? Since when do we use it? How did it get so powerful? Then usually, at least I didn't know the answer. And when I asked my students, they couldn't come up with an answer either. So I thought I'd just dwell into the issue and write a book about it.
Well, of course, when we talk about gross domestic product, and you certainly are the working expert on this topic as of now, when we talk about gross domestic product with our Money Talk listeners, we talk about total goods and services. We talk about this acronym GDP as a measure of total goods and services. For example, we talk about it in the context of the United States economy. As you know, since the end of World War II, we have had an average annual real, adjusted for inflation, a real GDP number in the growth category around 3.2%. I think the number's 3.22, very close to 3.25%. However, if we go back to the last several years, we've been stuck right around 2.0. What is going on?
Well, for that, I don't think I would be the right person to ask that question, because you would need to really look into the intricacies of the American economy and the reasons for halting growth or stopping growth. What my interest was more to understand how politicians came to believe so much in that growth is a good thing, which is something maybe a bit different.
Is growth a good thing, or would a stagnant economy be better?
Well, you can't really say that growth is good or bad. What I find fascinating is that somehow growth and politics, or the belief that growth is good, is part of modern politics. You would never hear a politician reacting to a crisis in any Western industrialized country other than claiming that the economy has to grow. But then again, you have what you just mentioned, the fact that many of the industrialized economies do not grow as much as they did in the 1950s. So maybe we still cling on to this notion of growth, which is just unrealistic in today's economies. Maybe that is the pressing problem.
So is it realistic for a country like the United States, a gigantic economy, $18-19 trillion annual economy, is it realistic for where we have an increase in the population on average each year, which right now is running fairly close to 1% a year? Is it realistic for an economy like the United States to take the position that we just want to keep the GDP even, the same number, okay, adjusted for inflation, but just keep it flat in real terms forever? Is that a realistic approach?
Well, I don't know if it's realistic or not, because then again, GDP is not something that has fallen from heaven. I mean, there's a convention of what you measure into it and what you leave out. So even you might have positive effects in a growing economy, although the number of GDP might not change. But more than thinking about what the GDP growth number is all about, I think behind GDP comes a narrative. This idea that progress in society and rising wages and rising material standard of living are somehow linked to growth, and this is a historic experience that grandparents experienced in the 1950s and 60s, and my parents in the 1970s, but which might not be the reality of many young people in the U.S. or in Western Europe today. So it's still clinging on to this, growth experience of the 1950s and 60s that is the basic problem, I think.
So they're using gross domestic product as a measure of total goods and services, and they're comparing it to past experiences in order to determine how the economy has been doing. If they threw out GDP, never talked about it again, how would you measure it?
I don't know whether we really have to change how we measure GDP, Bob. I don't think that's the issue. The thing is the, rat tail, as we say in German, that goes with it. The idea that growing economically solves problems which maybe will not be solved by growth alone, which is wage inequality or wage rises throughout all segments of society, the fact that parts of society feel left out, although other parts grow exponentially in their wealth earnings. These are problems that that politicians used to think they can solve by growth alone, but then if you don't grow, you might have a problem.
Well, obviously, one of the ways to increase the wage level for everybody is to improve the education system. But anytime this is mentioned, we're talking in terms of the U.S. here in particular, anytime this is mentioned, this is a very long-term project. It requires literally decades of experience in order to raise the general education level. It doesn't really do anything about leveling the playing field in any way, shape, or form in any foreseeable future. It's way down the line, maybe 50 years or 40 years before you could make a major difference. And there doesn't seem to be any emphasis on that anyway. Certainly in the U.S., I can tell you, there is no emphasis at this time on doing anything dramatic to the education system. As you probably know.
Yes, I'm familiar with these discussions. Absolutely. You had this great American economist, John Kenneth Galbraith, who in the late 1950s wrote this excellent book called The Affluent Society. And in this book, there's a very interesting chapter on the issue of inequality. And what he said in the late 1950s was that in the U.S. and all in the Western world of that time, that through growth, nobody cared no longer about inequality issues. And what we should remember is that at that time, that was an amazing discovery to make, to believe that suddenly all these political and social issues of the 19th century, I mean, ideas like socialism, communism, they were all about inequality and trying to change or revolutionize how the economic wealth and richness is dispersed among a society. And suddenly one believed to have found a clue or a key, better, with which all these social tensions and fights of the 19th century and early 20th century withered away. Or like Kennedy said, a rising tide lifts all boats. So it was kind of silencing what has been on the hearts and minds of political debates throughout 150 years by just clinging on to growth. And that leaves or has led us to a point where issues like education or tax reform or anything else are just no longer part of the political debates, because we somehow still believe that these are bygone battles.
Our guest, Philip Lepenese, joining us from Berlin. The Power of a Single Number is his new book. Philip, let's make you President of the United States for a moment. What changes would you make, if any?
Ah, what a tough question. I wasn't born in the U.S. I can't become your president, just like Arnold Schwarzenegger can't. But what I wouldn't do is, in my acceptance speech, claim that I will double growth like Donald Trump did. So that's the one thing I wouldn't do. And then what I would do, well, I couldn't tell, really.
Well, it is a tough question, I'll grant you that. You're in Berlin. Germany has a really big election coming up. I think it's late summer or September. What are your thoughts? Because there's been a populist wave, as you know, in a number of elections already. Great Britain, the United States, they're looking for a populist wave, possibly in France, maybe elsewhere, maybe in Germany. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think there's a clue that links all these populist waves, which is that apparently in a lot of our societies there's a huge segment of people who somehow feel that they don't get a fair deal or a fair size of the cake. And that again has to do maybe with how our fixation on growth alone has somehow catered for the development of large parts of society that somehow feel treated unfairly, and that makes them receptive to populist claims of improvement, of economic embetterment, and on all sorts of tales, and even xenophobia and any other irrational reactions. But more or less, it's not having catered to the needs of, let's say, middle class or lower class economic wealth for decades in many countries, in many OECD countries, that somehow now backlashes or backfires politically with tremendous results.
Philip, income inequality carries with it a pretty clear message, which is that there should be a movement in the direction of income equality. I have a really hard time understanding the concept of income equality, which should be a derivative of moving down the path, going by and passing forever income inequality. You should get closer to income equality. I have a really hard time with understanding how income equality happens in any way, shape, or form, except, as I said, if you had a massive education change over a period of many decades, absent that. Because, I mean, I take a Silicon worker, or Silicon Valley worker, making six figures in a job that is related to science, and compare that with somebody that's campaigning to make $15 an hour flipping hamburgers instead of what they're getting now, which might be 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 or whatever it is. That's not income equality in any way, shape, or form. That's still massive income inequality. I just wonder, and I'm not saying you are a person that's promoting this, but I don't understand.
Thanks, Bob.
What is the notion of income equality, which is pretty closely related to no income inequality? What is the notion of that when you look at the reality that people who have education or have started their own business or have an education and have gone into the sciences or whatever, and they're making six figures, they're going to make more money than a hamburger flipper, no matter what you pay a hamburger flipper. Isn't that right?
No, that's absolutely true. And, of course, when you talk about income inequality, you shouldn't confound that with somebody who's, you know, making a plea for equality in some socialist or communist sense. I mean, everybody knows that a thriving economy works just because there is, a difference in income and wealth. But maybe it's a question of, let's call it felt fairness. Maybe there is a point in which, again, parts of our society feel that they're just not being treated fairly. Nobody would claim that a hamburger flipper would have to have the same income as somebody in the technology business. Of course not. But isn't there a degree of fairness, of coherence that has to be felt and shared by everyone? And if, in real terms, your income hasn't risen in the last 20 years, but you see others who've risen exponentially, maybe that gives you a feeling that things are not as fair as they should be. And there was this great study that came out, or a discussion paper by the NBRE, by an economist called Chetty. And
hold that thought, Philip. Hold that thought in Berlin, because we're going to take our only break during our discussion right now. And when we come back, hold that thought for us, please. We want to hear it. And your calls are welcome across America, 1-800-934-2221. Philip is our guest, Philip Lepenies, The Power of a Single Number.
It's Sam Adams. We're constantly improving who we are, what we do, and how we brew. We may craft over 60 styles of beer, but it's Boston Lager that has captured the heart of America since 1984. With its deep amber color, caramel notes, and signature hop character, what better to have in your pint glass? Into the jungle. Sam Adams Boston Lager. Pursue better.
Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Think responsibly.
What's the matter, honey? Can't sleep?
Ugh, it's this heartburn. At night, it's the worst.
Heartburn? Again?
Yeah, I'm done with it. I'm going to kick acid with Rolaids.
Rolaids Advanced goes to work instantly for powerful relief of your worst heartburn, bloating, and gas.
Feeling better?
Much better.
That was fast.
Mm-hmm.
Kick acid and gas with Rolaids Advanced.
Jose, I still can't figure out why you want to be one of them smell good plumbers.
Honestly, Uncle Baba, the better question is, why wouldn't I? They drive new, fully stocked trucks with everything and a toilet too. They wear fresh, clean, company-supplied uniforms. They have a price book with every job to eliminate guesswork. They don't have to drive far from home to get to the nearest service center. They work for a family-owned business with a family-oriented culture. They know everyone on their team is background checked and drug tested, and they get to help people by unstopping drains for $99.
Gee, maybe I'll put in an application too.
I don't think that's a good fit, Uncle Baba, but they are looking to add to their smell good team. So, if anyone of you listening wants to apply like I did, please do.
This is Mike Diamond, and I guarantee my plumber will show up on time and smell good, or your house call is free.
Become a smell good plumber today. Apply online or call 1-800-446-MIKE for more information. Contractor license number 399-1708.
Every Sunday night at 9, it's all about our nation's heroes. The National Defense Radio Show is dedicated to active duty military, veterans, and their families. We'll talk about the great companies and people that are helping veterans, and we'll tell you some great stories about what these brave men and women are doing in L.A. and all over the country. My name is Randy Miller. Jerry Newberry and I will be your hosts on The National Defense every Saturday night at 9, right here on 790 KABC.
Whether you want breakfast for dinner or dinner for lunch, get any meal anytime at Norm's.
Our bigger, better breakfast is only $6.79. Hickory smoked bacon, link sausage, ham, eggs, hash browns, and buttermilk hotcakes served 24/7.
Or get your feast on with Norm's New York Steak and Shrimp Dinner served all day and night. Hand-cut steak, golden fried shrimp, vegetable, potato, soup, and salad, all for $11.99. Come into Norm's restaurants and eat what you want, when you want. Open 24/7. NormsRestaurants.com.
My name is David Hochberg of Pearl Mortgage. If you're looking to secure financing on a new home or refinance your existing home, give us a call. If you're purchasing a home within the next year, this is very important. Your credit score is the most important factor in securing the lowest interest rate. I strongly advise listeners interested in purchasing a home to contact my team as far in advance as possible to get pre-qualified for free. My team will analyze your credit and make recommendations to enhance your credit scores so you can secure the lowest rate when you purchase a home. Paying banks or other lenders to get pre-qualified is ridiculous. If you're purchasing a home, give us a call now at 844-YES-PEARL or visit PERLDavid.com to get pre-qualified for free. Pearl Mortgage has helped thousands of radio listeners, but we can't help if you don't call 844-937-7375 or visit PearlDavid.com. Pearl Mortgage Incorporated, NMLS 19186, California Bureau of Real Estate 413-0865.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Valentine's Day is next week, and I have an amazing deal from Sherry's Berries. Right now, you can get their giant, juicy, gourmet-dipped strawberries starting at $19.99. Listen, these berries are huge and come freshly dipped in dark, white, and milk chocolatey goodness and covered in toppings like chocolate chips and nuts, all starting at $19.99. But hurry, this offer expires soon. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and use secret code 8585. Berries.com, code 8585.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Money Talk.
From the beaches of Waikiki to the shores of Block Island Sound, it's America's Money Program. Bob Brinker here. We're speaking with our guest from Berlin, Germany, Philip Lepenies. His new book, The Power of a Single Number, A Political History of GDP. Let's take a couple of calls, Philip, because... Philip, I want to get to the phones, but first I'm going to ask you to please finish the point you were making, and thanks for holding.
No problem. I was intrigued by a paper that was written by a Stanford economist, Raj Chetty, and some of his colleagues, which is called The Fading American Dream. Caused quite a stir a couple of months ago when it came out, in which they claim from data that they've acquired that what seems to happen is that less and less the younger generations earn more or are materially better off than their parents. So if you were born in the 1940s, you would have like a 90% chance to be better off than your parents. And this number has been going down ever since, until reaching about 50% in the cohort of people who were born in the 1980s. So what happens is that we were talking about the issue of equality and inequality and coming to grips with what that means and whether this had to do with fairness or not. But then, of course, if the reality is such that a lot of people looking at their parents feel that they are not making the same material progress But the whole idea of progress and the whole idea of not only the American dream, but even the German post-war dream of economic wealth is that you should always be better off than the next generation. If that is no longer valid for many parts of the populace, then the whole growth narrative becomes a bit, not as effective as it seems.
So, Philip, when you hear this expression, the American dream, living the American dream, would that be a definition, a valid definition of the American dream, that your children are going to have a better life? Presumably, we mean economically.
Of course.
But well, not the other areas. Are going to have a better life than the parents. Would that be a reasonable definition?
I think not. That's at least part of it. I mean, it doesn't come automatically, of course. You have to work hard and all that. But still, it's this whole idea of a linear progress throughout the ages that somehow material standards of living are always improving and getting better and better and better, just how the people experienced it from the post-war period onwards. But somehow in the last 25 to 30 years, this tale is no longer valid for everyone.
Lots of calls, Philip. People all over America want to talk to you. Let's go to California, in Lafayette, California. Jim, you're on with Philip. Go ahead.
Hello, Philip. My question, hi. I live on right up here near Silicon Valley, and so my question comes in that direction. Bob had talked about hamburger flipping, and when I look and see what they're doing in Silicon Valley, they're already testing robotic hamburger flippers. So they're testing now where you can go into let's say a McDonald's. I don't like to use the company because it's a hamburger place, where you can go to a computer, tell them what you want, and in the back of the place, a robot is making a hamburger for you as you ordered, and you will get it. So in a sense, people are being put out of work that had entry-level jobs. And then I'm familiar with the people that wrote the paper at Stanford, and the idea that somehow everything is going to get better for everybody, it doesn't sound like that's going to happen with me. I mean, when I look at some of the schools in the local area, you see 20-some percent don't graduate from high school. How can we keep doing that and still have all this up and coming better life for everybody? Anyway, I'll take your answer off the air if you don't mind.
Sure, Jim. Thanks for your point. You know, the reason why the belief that growth is the answer to all problems became so prevalent in especially American domestic politics, but even in Germany as well, was that at the time, this is speaking the post-war period, when an economy grew, you knew that you would create jobs because this was the main obstacle you wanted to tackle, right? Especially after the war with all the homecoming servicemen and all that. So growth meant new jobs, and especially for the reason that you highlight, the workforce being replaced by robots, this equation that growth means jobs and jobs means wages and income and that means a good life, that just doesn't hold for many segments of the economy. So again, we have this from the side of the politicians, you still have this belief that you need to grow in order to make everybody better off and live the American dream or any other dream of material progress. But in fact, the technological reality of the economy gives no room or makes no more space for this narrative for everyone.
Very tough to fight the wave of automation, technology-related automation, robotics all over the world. I mean, almost any CEO you talk privately to, not for broadcast, but privately to, will tell you they like the robots because they don't talk back, they don't get benefits, and they're not members of a union.
Yeah, from their point of view, a rational thing to say.
And that's what exactly or the way they think. Whether they say it or not, that's exactly the way they think. Our guest is Philip Lepenies. His new book, The Power of a Single Number, A Political History of GDP. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. Bob, you are on with Philip. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just listened to the other caller. He's right. Anybody who's worked for a company who's
watched labor move to the Far East offshore. The jobs are coming back, but they're coming back to automation. So he's right about that because of the dramatic reduction in cost of automation. However, two points. One is the sense of the anger in the populist movement that occurred in Brexit and now also with the election of Trump and the millions of people who voted for Trump in counties that did not vote in the prior election in the same manner has nothing to do with the younger, the millennials and younger, thinking that they don't have the same life that their parents had. In fact, they don't really care. It's the people in the middle who have worked, the middle-aged folks who have worked their entire life to chase that dream, who have put money aside, who have tried to save for a future. But when they need the benefits that government provides for whatever reason, their income level or the work that they did or the savings that they did doesn't qualify them for them. So there's tremendous anger in the middle, not the super wealthy or the impoverished, but it's the people in the middle who are working to produce but don't feel like they get the equal benefits of the society. So that's one point. The other point is that growth is a rising tide does lift all ships. It absolutely does. The problem is that's not the only way to get your house in order from a financial perspective. You either need, if you're not making it, but if your bills aren't being paid, you either need to increase your income or reduce your spending. And I haven't heard any discussion about reducing spending with regard to balancing your family's budget, or in this case, society's budget. And I'll take your comments offline. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Bob. Great remarks. You're right on both points. I mean, the point about anger, I mean, you can translate the term anger into a discussion on feeling unfairly treated. And that's the whole point I wanted to make earlier about how people feel left out because they feel the system is not fair to them. I mean, you can define that in any way you want, but of course you're right that especially those who believe that they were living some sort of dream or were progressing and suddenly now when they're entering retiring age or anything see that they don't make ends meet, then of course this is anger is the same thing as being treated unfairly, I guess. Then of course you're right that if you have growth, then you can make a lot out of it. The problem is how you distribute growth. I mean, who profits from growth? Who benefits from growth? Is it all or is it just the big ships? I mean, you can probably help the small ships rise a bit higher than the big ships, but this is for the political environment to do so.
All right, let's go to...
It doesn't come automatically.
Right. Let's go to the great KKOB Radio Albuquerque. Dennis, you are on with Philip. Go ahead.
Hi, Philip. I think my comment may be along the lines of what you're talking about. I'm 66 now, and as I was growing up, I saw the prices of houses that people bought in the late 50s for $10,000, even in the 1960s for $20,000, and they just kept going up and up and up. And I always thought, well, you people, how do you expect your children to buy this? How do you expect the American dream for your children if you have all this greed and equity? And I still think that way. And I think that's why we have a service economy now. We worked ourselves out of the manufacturing jobs because wages had to rise as people got more greedy, selling their houses for more and more. That was the primary greed because that was the only way the 99% could make money, right? I mean, we're not smart enough to be a Bill Gates and be part of the 1%. So the only way our greed could be realized was selling our house for more and more. But that growth backfired on us because now the 99% blames everybody else. They blame the 1%. But the real root cause is the 99% greed. That's why the younger people most of them can't realize the American dream. My parents' generation, most of them realized the American dream. And my generation, to some extent, did. But as time goes on, now we have a service economy. And the only hope is that the greed same greed happens in other countries, which I think is happening. Foreign workers want more and more money, and the combination of automation now, we can bring jobs back, but not as many. So that's my comment. That's what growth, bad growth, is to me, greed.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis, for that comment. You mentioned, or you juxtaposed greed and prices in the housing sector. I mean, interestingly, giving a perspective from the other side of the Atlantic, within Germany, within the last 10 or 8 years, when the European Central Bank and well, the Fed as well, started their low interest rate policies, we have seen house prices surge in Germany in a way which is historically unprecedented. And you feel among my friends, among my own generation, how difficult suddenly it has become to acquire the real estate that our parents have, or even our older siblings have. So in a very, very short period of time, two things. It's not only greed, but it's interest rate policy as well, which has led to a situation which is completely devastating for many. And somehow the same mistakes keep repeating themselves. You just have to look at other country experiences, what has happened in a housing bubble. And it just happens again and again and again. And I find that quite depressing at times.
Philip, I would not be able to accuse a homeowner of greed in any way, shape, or form if the homeowner bought a home, hypothetically, for $100,000, lived in it for 10 or 12 or 15 years, put it on the market, found out what the market is, and then sold it for $200,000. It would seem, obviously, part of that gain would be offset by inflation during those years, but I can't find any count of greed for someone doing that. I don't see any greed.
Yeah, well, maybe it's unfair to qualify it in derogatory terms. You make use of the market, which, of course, is your right in a way. It's just that market development kind of is not fair to everyone. Let's put it this way. I mean, if you're the homeowner, you're, of course, on the bright side. If you're looking for a home, not so much. And then, of course, you will not find somebody selling his overpriced house for you for, a 20% discount.
We're hearing more and more, it's come out of the blue in recent years, especially about guaranteed incomes in a world of robotics, technology, automation, fewer humans needed to flip hamburgers or do whatever, and therefore we go to driverless cars, driverless buses, driverless trucks. Frankly, Philip, there seems to be no end to where this road could lead. And so now people have started talking about, well, maybe we need guaranteed incomes. Of course, the question that arises is who's going to pay those incomes and how will that be funded? What are your thoughts on that?
I doubt that this will be like the magic bullet answer to to all social ails, but it's interesting to see how different countries are looking into that matter, let's say, more thoroughly than others. But then, of course, you look at Scandinavian countries who are fairly homogenous and who have a tradition of, a high-cost welfare sector with people paying 50% tax on their marginal income. So there, this might work. Don't think it will work everywhere or could work. You have a century-old discussion of what happens when the state or the government pays out something without getting something in return. That discussion goes way back to the English poor laws of the 16th century, where people who were poor were given monetary supplementary income in order to survive. And since then, the discussion broke up whether this is a good thing, whether people, stop looking for jobs when the state pays them something, or they become idle, or they become drunkards, or anything. It's really fascinating to look into the historical debate of what happens, supposedly or unsupposedly, when the state
gives you money without you doing anything economically. So you couldn't really say that, you know, this is a good thing, the guaranteed income schemes or not, but it's part of a very long tradition of debates about what happens if the state interferes in private lives. You have to look in a specific case to see whether it works or not. I wouldn't say that it's a one-size-fits-all approach, definitely not for countries as diverse as the United States or even Germany. But it might work in Finland.
Of course, Finland. Guaranteed income, a Pandora's box of enormous size. Philip Lepine is our guest. His new book, The Power of a Single Number, The Political History of GDP. Philip, I want to thank you for burning the midnight oil in Berlin, Germany, to stay up with us and talk with our listeners across the USA. We really appreciate that, and we wish you continued success.
My pleasure, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. This is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
When I get to about three-quarters,
when I get down to the bottom,
a couple more scoops,
it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Doggo Suds.
Free. This week at Dynavite.com.
If it's working, don't quit. Dynavite.com.
From painting to lawn maintenance, we protect our homes, both the inside and the outside. Now is the perfect time to protect the most valuable thing in your home. Protect your loved ones by practicing a fire escape plan and installing Kidde fire and security products. Kidde is here to help with a full line of easy-to-install fire and carbon monoxide alarms and security cameras, and you can find them all at a store near you. Stop in today for everything you need to protect your home. Kidde, technology that saves lives.
Are you ready to retire? Will your investments provide the income you need? The Brinker Fixed Income Advisor helps you take control of your fixed income investments. Subscribe now, and each month you'll receive the following fixed income information: the best CD rates available, upcoming municipal bonds in your state, ETF and no-load mutual fund recommendations, along with four model portfolios and complete access to our BrinkerAdvisor.com website. Nothing is more important than planning for retirement. Financial independence and worry-free retirement are within your grasp. Pick up the phone and call the Brinker Fixed Income Advisor at 1-800-660-3293 or visit us online at www.brinkeradvisor.com. Let the Brinker Fixed Income Advisor help you achieve your fixed income investment goals. Order now. Call us toll-free at 1-800-660-3293. That's 1-800-660-3293.
From painting to lawn maintenance, we protect our homes, both the inside and the outside. Now is the perfect time to protect the most valuable thing in your home. Protect your loved ones by practicing a fire escape plan and installing Kidde fire and security products. Kidde is here to help with a full line of easy-to-install fire and carbon monoxide alarms and security cameras, and you can find them all at the Home Depot. Stop in today for everything you need to protect your home. Kidde, technology that saves lives.
When I get to about three-quarters,
when I get down to the bottom,
a couple more scoops,
it's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Doggo Suds.
Free. This week at Dynavite.com.
If it's working, don't quit. Dynavite.com.
Don't do what I did and run out.
If it's working, don't quit.
Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about three-quarters.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
Dynavite.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe,
but no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogasuds.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
This is Money Talk.
For information on my investment letter, Bob Brinker's Market Timer Investment Letter, go to bobbrinker.com and request a complimentary back issue. Easily done. Just go to the website homepage at bobbrinker.com and request a complimentary back issue right there. And while you're there, check out the information, Money Talk On Demand information. You can stream our broadcast to your computer. You can download to your smartphone. That is Money Talk On Demand. And, of course, the investment talk is year-round. And with Money Talk On Demand, you listen wherever you go, whenever you like, on your schedule. Sign up at bobbrinker.com right there at the Money Talk On Demand logo. Wow. When you look at the future, when you look at the future of automation, robotics, technology, and all that's coming with it, the driverless vehicles and all that's coming with it, you really have to wonder. You really have to wonder about jobs growth in the long term. And you really have to wonder about the notion of children having a better life than their parents. They might have a more convenient life, but how much better it'll be, well, that is certainly arguable at a minimum. Before they beam me out of here, let me thank all of you for joining us. Our program coordinator, Ravi Chandran, producer Meredith Oakes, technical directors, Angel Bordon, and Mr. Bob Mack. Till next time, may the odds be always in your favor.
Don't do what I did and run out.
If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about 3/4.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
Dinovite.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe,
but no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Doggo Suds.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes, a strategy that might work for you. The smart move is for you to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%. APR 4.18%.